The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The SCS 40 scheme in the UK, it's being rolled out today and it's going to see some prisoners eligible to be released early to try to combat overcrowding in prisons. The problem is that some sexual offenders and other violent criminals are going to be released despite government assurances that serious criminals would be excluded from the policy. Joining me now to discuss is Vincent McAvenny, freelance journalist. Morning, Vincent.
Good morning.
Vincent, this is to do with a lacuna wherein a criminal who has been convicted of two crimes, one of them serious assault, the other relatively minor, running consecutively for the two sentences, ends up being released on the latter despite having been a violent criminal. Is that it?
Yeah, that seems to be the case with this scheme. It was devised by the previous government, the Conservatives and Labour, having to enact it because the prison population last week hit an all-time high, 88,521 people. There is simply no flex or capacity left in the system. And though they're starting this sort of pressure valve release, the first 1,700 prisoners are expected to be released in the next 24 to 48 hours.
And the Labour government is blaming their Conservative predecessors by saying effectively this is a failure to have constructed prison places with sufficient alacrity to be able to house the prisoners.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sentences have got much tougher since 2012. That's been part of Conservative policy to have longer sentences. But they haven't at the same time both rebuilt the existing prison estates, some of which are even decades beyond their life expectancy. These are buildings that were constructed in the Victorian era that are already over capacity, and they are very expensive to run because they're so poorly built. They needed to rebuild those, but also to expand capacity if they were going to have these tougher sentences. And that's something that they have failed to do because they didn't want to be seen building prison places over other public utilities. As a result, it was 25% sentences, 25% longer sentences than in 2012. So eventually this was always going to happen, that they were going to run out of prison places.
So does the current government have a plan to solve that as well? Will there be prison construction undertaken with the release being a short-term option, or are we going to see sentences reduce in scale?
Well, I think they're considering their options now, but I don't think they want to be seen to being weak on crime. And we've seen this summer with the riots across the UK that they were expecting, the sentences that were dealt out were pretty tough sentences, some of them years long for that. So I don't think they're going to back away from the tougher sentencing approach because that'll be seen as weakness. But we'll see whether or not they'll expend some of the sort of political capital holiday that they have now to put money into the prison system. There is an argument, if you can make it correctly, that building new prisons is actually cheaper in the long run because the ones that we're trying to continue to run, like Belmarsh and others that are quite notorious, that those are incredibly expensive because, you know, they're not properly insulated, they're not designed right for safety as a modern prison, and it would be better to build new ones.
In percentage terms, how much are sentences being reduced by?
So normally at the moment you are set for sort of automatic release or review for release at about 50%, and offenders serving less than 5 years are now being released at 40% of their sentence is what we're hearing, apart from sort of certain categories of very violent offenders or sexual offenders.
So you get a sentence of 5 years and you walk after two?
Essentially, yes. Yeah.
When released, what's the follow-up? Is it an extended probation? Is there any requirements on the prisoners, or is it simple blanket release?
It's not a blanket release. They are on licence. So even under the previous scheme where you got out at 50% of your time, you were out on licence. Its specific conditions are put on each person that is released. So it might be, for instance, to stay away from a particular area or particular individuals. They might have curfews imposed. They might not be able to engage in some kinds of conduct. They might not be able to, you know, access the internet, all kinds of things like that. They'll have to report regularly to the probation services, potentially even to police stations as well. So they'll all be being released with their own individual packages. One thing, though, that has come to light this morning is that some victims have not been told that the perpetrator of the offence against them is set to be released. That doesn't happen always in normal time. They don't always manage to do that. But it seems that on this first release of 1700, they haven't been able to make sure that everyone was aware of this.
And that brings us to the loophole. So as I understand the loophole, let us imagine that somebody has been convicted of robbery with a sexual assault, and they have convicted, they have consecutive sentences wherein they serve the sex assault conviction first because it may be the longer and more egregious, and then let's say they're serving 2 or 3 years for the robbery. That person may be let out a year early, 2 years early for the what's seen as the second half of their sentence. But as far as the victim is concerned, that was a package deal for the one offence, and they should still be in jail.
Yes, that's right. That's as we understand it at the moment. But it's unclear how many of those individuals there are in this cohort.
You mentioned 1700 as the initial number that has been released. What is the total expectation in terms of prisoners who will be subject to this early release scheme?
We think at the moment it's around 5,000, but I think it will remain to be seen how this first release goes, how the probation system handles it, and then we'll see whether or not Labour sort of carry on with this. But as I said, the prison population currently, you know, at record, it's about 88,521 last week. There's a capacity of about 90,000 maximum, but that is with, you know, prison stretched to the absolute max, to a level they don't want to be at, and they have to obviously have flex in that system to bring more people in. So they're trying to get it down to, we think, around sort of the 83,000-84,000 mark.
Vincent, while I have you, a totally unrelated matter. There was a huge amount of speculation, I think, earlier this year as to the health of Kate Middleton, and very little information emerging. She then put out a statement that indicated that she had cancer and effectively was largely left alone to deal, as was should have been the case, to deal with her medical condition. She has now announced that she has undergone chemotherapy, completed the chemotherapy, and is cancer-free, and is going to be coming back to doing some public appearances, which has, of course, been warmly welcomed in all quarters. Interestingly, the Kensington Palace has released a video which is fairly extraordinary in the manner in which it has been filmed. A lot of people comparing it to a Timotei ad or a perfume ad. Do we know why they went to such cinematic extremes with the video explaining her health?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously good news to hear, you know, that she hasn't said she's cancer free. What she said is she's completed her chemotherapy and that she's on a cancer journey, which she's described as complex, scary and unpredictable. And it's been an incredibly tough time for them as a family. She says it's given her a new perspective on everything. And as we all know, when you have cancer, you know, you have to be a bit on watch for many years afterwards to make sure, because it can come back. But this communication strategy they've gone with is quite interesting. I mean, I would compare it to a Centre Parks advert. You know, the family are out walking around in the woodlands, they're playing card games, they're on a beach. It's very relaxed and informal. It is quite strange for royal communication. I mean, we all remember the video that Kate put out in the wave of that speculation over what was going on earlier this year. She did put out a video where she was sort of sitting at a bench talking directly to camera. And it was a very thoughtful script that she delivered, and many people praised her for speaking out quite bravely about what was going on with her at a very vulnerable time. This video, there has been a little bit of criticism that it's, you know, it's very glossy. It's very, you know, it's a very personal video for members of the royal family to be putting out. And I think it shows that, you know, she's trying to take back somewhat control of how she's portrayed and how she's viewed after a difficult couple of years, of course, with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex and all that's gone on there with the rift in the family. And very much trying to show them as a solid family unit. What has changed, of course, you know, we're now 2 years on from the passing of Her Majesty the Queen. They are now the Prince and Princess of Wales, Kate and William. And of course, King Charles himself has been suffering from cancer this year. He is now, we believe, in remission. He's well enough to be doing trips and events again. But it does show that the time span for them potentially taking on the top job could be shorter than they expected if his cancer was to return at all. And so what it's trying to show is to set them all up as a family that will be front and center potentially. They're definitely going to be in that role at some point, but it might be sooner than we all expected. So perhaps they're trying to make the children more comfortable with being somewhat more public.
And what if the choice, and again, this is looking at the editorial decisions around the video, nothing to do with her own health or condition. What about the choice to include her parents, but not his?
I think that is interesting. We do know, of course, that, you know, William is incredibly close to her parents, Mike and Carol. That was something that he loved about Kate Middleton, how close she was with her family, how, you know, relatively normal her family were compared to his own difficult upbringing. And we've seen, of course, her with her siblings on many occasions and the family being together. I think it is curious that Charles and Camilla are not in the video. You know, Charles had talked about going through his cancer treatment. You know, he was in the same hospital as Catherine earlier this year, and that it sort of had bonded the two together, and that, you know, he was feeling a real sense of pride at how she was shaping up with what she was going through. You could potentially see that if they were included in the video, it might take away from Kate's message, but also it might be seen as, you know, something, it might be seen as the sort of this family rallied together now, and Harry and Meghan still on the outskirts and, you know, banished away somewhat, depending on how you view what happened. But yeah, I think it is curious to decide to include her parents. But then again, you know, it is her illness and it is her parents who have been, indeed, we know, playing a role with the children over the past year to help them and look after them.
Vincent, thank you for your time. That's Vincent McAvinney, a freelance journalist in the UK.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.